Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We also meet on the second and fourth Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
I'm not going to even try I'm just give you kind of an introduction where we're going, because we're going to spend some time there for the next few weeks. We're going to talk about in the next little bit about soul salvation. You say, what? I thought there's only one kind of salvation. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I think we're about ready to stand. Let's stand together. And we're going to read Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And the responding verses will be the ones that you'll read, and then we'll get right into the Word of God. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever of you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. Do you think this, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Eternal life to those who, by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Tribulation and anguish on every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek.
But the glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek.
For there is no partiality with God. Verse 12 together. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without law. And as many as sin in the law will be judged by the law. Let's pray. Father God, today we're taking off on a journey. And we're going to talk about salvation for the soul. Because, Lord, many times it's mentioned in Scripture, and somehow we get that confused with spirit and all that type of thing. But, Lord, today at least define for us in a reasonable fashion where we'll understand the soul part of us. And what when you say even things about the soul, the sinner shall die, we need to understand what you're saying. Holy Spirit, we trust you today to lead us into your word, that we'll leave this place not only with a great understanding, but a life of submission toward the things that you would share with us. Holy Spirit, be our guide and our director, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. We thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
You can be seated. Well, the cross and redemption are relatively easy things to understand. And I think most people have just a workable knowledge of what that really means. The cross, Jesus, we celebrated that last weekend. But I need to take us a step further to understand when it comes to issues regarding the transform from death to life by the power of the Spirit of God, which means our spirit being made alive through the power of Jesus is an incredible gift. And you say that and someone says, well, yeah, everyone kind of nods their head like they really know. Well, let's go a little bit further. However, there's a discussion that must take place when it comes to our soul, the fusion between our spirit and body that occupies until we are found and that we occupy until we're found in his presence. I'm not here trying to wax eloquent or to be profound or to be psychological. I want to show you what the word says about the soul. Here's a question or two. Number one, have you come to the realization that even as the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we are indeed a triune being of body, soul, and spirit? You say, well, okay, I get it. Well, let's find out whether we do or not. Number two, have you resolved the difference between being saved and being born again? So I say, what are you talking about? Being saved, being born again, same thing. No, it's not. So what? Listen, God's going to teach us some things today. Number three, are you confident in the fact that your salvation is three-dimensional? And you say, well, wait a minute, are we getting a new salvation? Not really. But according to the Word of God, there's some things that we can learn. Let's jump into it real quickly. Loving God with all your soul, Luke chapter 10, verse 27, that kind of introduces it for us. So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Why did that even land in Scripture? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Distinctively, there's things that we even think about. But when we jump into it, we have nothing in this world to compare the soul to. In Genesis chapter 2, 7, we're going to go to another scripture real quickly. And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. Interestingly enough, this particular translation says living being, but if you go back to the old King James, it says, and man became a living soul. Wow. So I'm not messing with words. I'm not trying to create a new doctrine. I want us to find out today that the soul is life as we know it to be. That until the activation of the Spirit is energized by the Holy Spirit of God, of life that God gives us, we're just laying there. We're just this pile of clay. And many times that happens to us that we just don't really understand that it's the soul that brings life to us. It is the ability to know, to feel, and to respond to things that happen to us in this life. And I'll give you some practical definitions in a moment, but it's our ability that when things affect us, that's not a bad thing. But it's the fact that we know that we're alive because we just don't go through life just kind of like the, I am so glad to be here today. I'm so glad that I was able to praise the Lord, and I will go home and I will be a good person. Honey, your hands will fly up. Your voice will get louder or softer because you have a soul. You're not a monotone being. There's something that activates you. The soul is often a term that is used in different cultures to describe an experience that can only be felt or influenced in the human experience. Now, let me give you some things. Now, this will get to some of you. Anybody know anything about soul music? I saw some hands fly up there. Where you folks just kind of weave a little bit when things begin to happen. And you try to keep that foot still, it won't keep still. Come on now, you work with me. It gets into you. And did you tell your foot start tapping? Did you tell your hand to go up? No. You know what happened? Your soul got involved. So it's not this captivated thing that we can do. It's a term that there's soul music. Now, I know all you have been there. Soul food. Yes, Lord. Barbecue. Mustard greens. Come on, work with me. Peach cobbler. Jesus. See, I'm working with you now. You're feeling it now. Some of you say, oh, I haven't had it in so long. And it does something to you inside. It brings something out in you that wasn't there before. Chocolate chip cookies. Oh, Jesus. You may laugh, but all of a sudden your whole day will change when somebody walks in with that plate. There you go. What about your soulmate? That person that changed your life forever, as far as you know. And you can't imagine life without them. It's amazing. That's what I'm talking about. It captured an experience that is processed on an emotional level that reflects the moral conscience of will and desire to communicate on a spiritual level. That is a lofty definition, isn't it? I apologize, but that's the best I could write down. I'll redefine it for you in just a moment. The soul is man and all of his attributes that will bring significance and fulfillment. You see it in front of you. Let me just break that apart. The soul is a man in all of his attributes that will bring significance and fulfillment. 3 John verse 2. This is in the Word. I pray that you may prosper in all things. Let's stop right there. Prosperity, you know, that God gives you increase, that God gives you more money, more bigger house, bigger car, bigger budget, whatever it happens to be. And we call that prosperity. But I got news for you. If your soul isn't prospering, it doesn't mean a thing. All the stuff you've got right now, when you die today, somebody gonna sleep in your bed. Somebody you don't like will drive your car. You hear what I'm saying? What he's saying here is that you prosper in all things, you prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. Our soul doesn't get a lot of attention, but all the other stuff does. I need to teach us today, myself learning in this particular place, the place where our spirit, body, and intellect thrive. There's something, we have a bad reputation, I believe, as believers. Because, you know, the spirit thing, we can just be all spiritual and all this type of thing, you know, and we'll get our bodies in alignment. But you know something? Our intellect lacks. Can I use the word stupid? Sometimes we're stupid. Willfully stupid. Because we won't allow the Lord or other things to teach us anything. Some of us have not grown soul-wise since we've come to Jesus. And your soul needs to be saved. Oh, well, you'll understand in a moment. Here we go. It's all things that make you unique as a child of God. It is a part of us that manifests an image of God's creation through us. If you're living the maximum of who God has designed for you to be, hallelujah. But most of us aren't, including me. But you know, I'm on a campaign now that I begin to understand this, that Lord, help me to be all that you designed for me to be and get all of me out of the way that's not like you. That's soul salvation. But when you think, oh, I'm fine, I'm good, man, I got it, I got this. Oh, yes, you do, you got this and a whole lot more. Our soul will determine our eternal destiny. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 27. Get a lot of scripture for now. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Next verse says, and he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And so he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Leave that up there for a moment. I don't doubt any person in here that says, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm glad you did. So did I. You say, well, that included my soul. No, it didn't. Not necessarily. Not unless you understand some things I'm going to tell you in a few moments. With all your soul, and this is with all your strength, with all your mind and your neighbor's, that is quite a prescription, wouldn't you say? And so God is going to reveal some things to us. Well, first of all, the lawyer wanted to know how his soul could live forever. We don't talk much about eternity, and probably that's my fault, and I'll take the hit for that. Because we're so focused on how we live down here and how people are treating us down here and how we'll be successful and all the other type of thing. But you know something? Nobody's staying here. I celebrated my birthday yesterday. I've been here 69 years, and if you think I'm gonna be here 69 more, I'm kidding myself, okay? And matter of fact, I don't wanna be here 69 more years, quite frankly. Love you, but no. Moving on, thank you very much. Enjoy yourself. But when I leave here, I believe I've got a destination. But while I'm here, I got something that I've got to fulfill that God wants me to fulfill. So I'm just kind of cruising. Well, heaven's going to be lovely. No, well, let me help us all with that. Loving God with all your heart seems reasonable. Heart affection toward God. But here's the next piece. Loving God with all our soul is not something that can be easily done because we do not understand our soul as much as we should. Doesn't mean love God as much as you love fried chicken. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. We gain greater understanding about the soul when we learn to love our neighbor, the last thing he says, as ourself. Wow. That is something kind of an ambush I see. Because we love ourselves a lot more than we think we do. You look kind of looking at me. We really do. But do we love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves? Wow. Here's what I believe that God's going to take us to. The soul of man is subject to the will of man. That means that when we were allowed to have life within itself, and we came to a point of reason, when we were no longer under somebody else's tutelage, or when we were released from our home, our will was the dictator of what our life was going to look like. Now, right now, some of you folks that are teenagers or you're at home, I know you say, hey, just ain't fair. I don't like the way you do it. Honey, one day when you are 18, do whatever you want, but not in my house, okay? Get your little crib, get your little friends. You don't have to wash your clothes. You don't have to clean your room. You don't have to clean the house. But I tell you, but it ain't going to happen over in here, right? According to your will, you know, you don't even have to go to work. You can sleep under a bridge. I don't care. But right now, when you're subject to someone else, it's a little different story. The choices that we make in life are related to our understanding of our soul, of how life affects us and those around us. I'm not talking about soul conscious. I'm talking about the fact that there are certain habits that you've inherited that you really like. And quite frankly, we can't stand them. Can I give you the word? You're a joke, okay? Some of the ways you act, the way you behave, and some, the reason why we don't visit you, because you're a mess. You're a mess. And you know why? Because your soul's out of control. It hasn't got saved. It hasn't got sanctified or anything. But here's the other part you may need to know. The soul is the highest part of man that resembles the love of the Father or anyone. Because when your soul is in subjection to God, as in accordance with your will, life is so much different. The question would be, say, Pastor, how do I get my soul under control? Well, it starts over in Ezekiel. The understanding of the soul will determine our destiny. Ezekiel chapter 36, 24 through 27. Can you imagine? Old Testament going to teach us something today. Here we go. For I will take you from among the nations, God's talking about his people, and gather you out of countries and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Let's stop right there. There is a process that God enacts on our behalf, where he does something that is supernatural. It's only because we allow ourselves to be in his presence that we will be changed. Do you know the reason why you are here today is not so you can hear your favorite praise song? It's not so you can just kind of check in and say, I was there. I want to see, you know, my rooted coach, they see that I'm there. I'm with y'all, okay? That's not the reason why you're here. It's to be cleansed. It's to be purified by the word of God that you can be all that Jesus wants you to be. It's to save your soul. Because when you're out in the world, there's a lot of debris. There's a lot of stuff that comes on you, and only the word can take it off. Only worship can put you back in focus. I wish we all were worshiping all day long, but I can be honest with you, we're doing life in such like this, but there's something about coming together as a body of Christ, and we hear the word of God, and we begin to praise God. Something of the old stuff comes off of us, and we're able to vibrate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Call it soul therapy if you want to. I don't care. verse 27, let's see. And I'll put new, and this is, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. I'll give you a new heart, first of all, and put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the heart of stone out of you. Woo, that's kind of an indictment. In my culture, I'm going to say culture, whatever you want to call it. Mama would say, tell us, you got a hard head. Hard-headed. Bible says hard-hearted, but she said hard-headed. And she'd help you out with your hard-headedness. She would start with your bottom and work her way up. She had a way to drive the devil out. She'd start with a switch, end up with a spoon. But honey, you would find out you'd be cleansed of the filthiness of the flesh. Somebody know what I'm talking about? Someone testify with me, work with. Oh yeah, oh yeah. We wouldn't have half the problems that we do today if mama had to, since mama had to put her switch away. They call it abuse. We call it training. We call it molding and shaping and, you know. Glory to God. I bear in my body today the marks of... Born again and being saved are two different things. Let me just define that for you because I don't want to leave without even making this differentiation. Being born again means there's a new spirit in us by the Lord. I'm not going to take anything away from you today. If you've been born again, if your spirit has made bear witness with God's spirit, you are indeed born again. Somebody say amen. That's what born again means. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He says, you know, what can I do? Have eternal life. And Jesus, without even a flash or a flinch, you must be born again. And immediately, Nicodemus switches over to that which was understandable by him. He says, born again? What does that mean? Do I have to enter my mother's womb a second time to be born again? I mean, that's the only reference he could come to. Let me help us all with this. So what I'm saying is that being born again means that we get a new spirit put in us by the Lord. This is necessary because the spirit man died in the garden with Adam and man was cut off from God. Every single person that comes on this planet, I don't care how cute your baby is, that baby needs to be born again. Oh, he's just so sweet and this type of thing. Honey, let him grow up. Untethered by you, ooh, honey, he'll show you some things. Until the spirit is born again, because we all died through Adam's sin. And so the only way we can have life again, you must be born again. Not of the flesh, but of the spirit, where God gives you a new heart, a new mind, a new way of looking at life. That's what born again means. Now, let me help you with this. Born again isn't a repeat after me thing. Jesus, come in my heart. Jesus, come in my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of all my sins. I accept you as my sin. I accept you not. Those are lovely words, but until you really mean that, it will not change you at all. You say, well, wait a minute. I did the repeat after me thing and it's the faith in what you're believing when you realize that you need to be born again. Not because I told you to repeat after me. And so many folks, I believe, I shouldn't say so many, but a lot of folks don't understand that they were dead in their sin and trespasses and only Jesus can make them alive again. If you're a little bit, well, you know, I'm bad, but I'm not that bad. You should see some of my friends. Really? The Bible says there's not one righteous, not one. Let me help you with that. God gives us a new spirit whereby we're born again. Now, for those of us who struggle with the idea, the body that you have now, it ain't going nowhere. At the resurrection, you'll get a new one. Thank God. This one here has spare parts. I got a metal knee, and I got when it gets cold, and I don't like it. but it helps me get around, so it's the best I can do for now. But I'm getting me a new one, and it don't have metal in it, okay? We're working with that. While we are down here, our soul must be transformed by the renewing of our mind, willfully submitted to the Holy Spirit. This is why I'm talking about soul transformation, which means this. Our soul must be changed into the image of Christ. Somebody say amen. I need an amen right here. Now, number one, the redeemed soul will create new habits. Really? Yeah. Simply put, your brain, gray matter up here, does not experience, it only records things that you have experienced. It does not have the power within itself to change anything. It just takes in all of this stuff and records it, and will, you know, you have a memory of various things that have happened. And so what that means in practical experience is that as a result of the things that it has recorded, it records, you will formulate, I will formulate our own truths about things. Ever have two people watch a particular incident and they come out away with two different experiences? So why is that? Because our frame of reference will be tainted and it will be changed based upon experiences we've had in life. And some person says, that's just horrible. I said, well, it's not as bad as. And so you have two different interpretations of what's really going on. The only redemption of the soul is when the Holy Spirit is able to tell you God's truth instead of your subjective truth. That's what I'm talking about when I say that. The soul is a bridge between our spirit and our body with total submission to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do one other little phase and I'm going to quit for today. What it really means to experience salvation. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 28. We can at least get through this section. Then Jesus came to his disciples and says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Wow. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his glory, in his kingdom. A couple of truths I'll extract from that today. Jesus is number one. Listen to this carefully. This is important. He's talking to believers. Huh? He's talking to his disciples. So that would be most of you here today. So the focus is he's talking to believers, the ones who have made a commitment to him as a disciple. So I'm talking to all y'all, myself included. Following Jesus is the main focus of soul salvation. So it's not like this extraneous thing that's a part of it. Secondly, the idea of denying ourselves is in a direct conflict with our soulless nature. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. Lunch is at 12. There's a plate of donuts in the break room. Do you eat? Do you pass? Now, you're going to eat in an hour, right? That donut will find its way onto your plate, into your mouth before you can even say, Jesus, help me. You know why? Because your soul desires, it knows you're going to eat at 12, but right now at 11, I need some satisfaction. I need some help to get me till 12. Now, let me reverse the situation. It's 11 o'clock. There are no donuts in the break room. There's only water. You'll have a glass of water and go back to your desk and sit down till 12. What's the difference? Well, the thing about it is, if we respond to certain things because there's a soulish part of it, that we create a need within us that really isn't there. You are not going to die before 12 o'clock gets there. But your soul tells you, man, if you don't have that donut, do you realize you could collapse? You are in danger of losing everything that you have. Grab the donut. Sugar spikes to the particular point, you're dizzy because you had a donut. I'm going to help us all with this. The desire is that we have to really, the idea of denying ourselves is direct conflict with our soulish nature. The implication that there is a cross to be borne does not fit into the schematic of what we desire to do with our soulish nature. Now, I'm not saying the cross you bear is waiting till 12 o'clock for lunch. But somehow that doesn't fit well with us. There's a number of reasons we can come to as why we should deny ourselves, but they don't overrule what our soul says. Have it now. One of the most tragic things for all of us is instant gratification, not wanting to wait. Do you know how you got hooked on drugs? It wasn't because your friend started smoking weed. It wasn't because all of a sudden when you experienced that, it was recorded up here and says, this is a way where I don't have to deal with reality. This is a way I don't have to deal with other types of things. And so you went back to it again and again and again. It became your default. It became your escape. I got to stop here in just a minute, but wow. I'm going to finish this other little section, but self-denial often works in direct conflict with soulish desires. I'll do this one section and we'll go further. Disregarding one's self means that we willfully ignore soulish instincts that would desire comfort and appeasement. Ever heard the word called comfort food? Don't pretend like you haven't. Biscuits and gravy. You know there's a heart attack on a plate. No matter. I'm going to have me some biscuits and gravy. I'll deal with it. I'll run an extra mile. You lie to yourself. So I'll stay. I'm going to run an extra mile. I'm going to do a little more time in the gym. No, you're not. You're going to have biscuits and gravy and enjoy every minute of it. Till the doctor tells you if you don't do something, you ain't going to stay here. And all of a sudden, biscuits and gravy just don't have their appeal. You know what I'm saying? That's how we are. Our soul is in control. How about this one? Renouncing of rights and privileges goes directly against the soulish desire of man. We want what's fair, what's coming to us. And I know all about equal rights and this type of things, and all crazy things are happening in our world. But when we get so amped up about claiming our rights and we forget about the kingdom and what God's trying to do through us to bring other folks into the kingdom, we just want our rights to stay here. Honey, you're not going to be here forever. There are folks going to hell all day long and you're so concerned about whether you get all your rights that are accorded. It's out of balance, folks. What does the Bible say? Seek ye first equal rights, or does it say seek ye first the kingdom? What does your Bible read? And all the rest of the stuff will be added to you. I'm not saying that equal rights don't matter, but I'm saying that the kingdom matters more than your rights do. And I got to get us thinking differently because we're on the wrong pattern. How about this? Seeking the mind of God will cause major conflict when seeking to know and be known of man. To ignore natural instincts and desires and following one's own mind afflicts the soul. Well, this definition says the word life actually means psyche, which means soul. And there are only two types of people, those who deny self and those who do not deny self. Only two types. So can we have a third category? No. Worship team, you can come back up here and I'll finish this last thought. In order to save your life, you must be willing to lose your life for Jesus' sake. Can I tell you what that means? It doesn't mean martyrdom. Not directly. But I will tell you this much, that if you're living your life just for you, that's a bad investment. So what am I saying? It means those who deny self now lose their soul, but save it later. Huh? That's something I got to define for you the next time I preach. The salvation of the soul really talks about obedience to God and what you know to be true and to be right even now. Here's the deal for today. I hope I got to a place where at least I can communicate with you. The Bible makes it very, very, very plain. He says this, the soul that sinneth shall die. Not might, but shall. And I believe there's some people here that are dead men or women walking. We're going through all the motions, but we're dead inside because the life of Christ does not have its rightful place in us because we have substituted God's righteousness for all the things that we feel good about. Can I tell you why it's tough to break that habit? Because your soul's in control. And somehow the will of man must be subject to the will of God. Let's pray. Bow your heads with me, please. Holy Spirit, I am hoping I gave at least a reasonable introduction to where we're going to be going the next few weeks. But Lord, the question was, how do we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul? Because Lord, the painful part of this experience is that we'll leave this place and somehow we'll lapse back into our routine of how we really do life. It'll be easy for us to go back to the way we've always done things, just think the same way, but Lord, help us to go back to the place where in the garden, you gave us, you breathed into us life and we became a living soul. And then shortly after that, Adam made a decision of rebellion against you by going directly against what you told him not to do. And death came to everybody. And the only way we were able to get our way back to you was through Jesus. Lord, help us to see the death that's in us. And help us to claim for life as we will to do your will. With every head bowed, every eye closed, there's something I need to speak into several people in this room today. And I don't know really how to do it, so I'm going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit to craft it in such a way that you'll understand it. But the word that comes to my mind more than anything else is the word struggle. And struggle is a good word. Because it means, and there's a struggle, that means that you're, at least you're activated to the point that you realize there's something going on. And your life isn't like you really want it to be because you know what's right. And maybe you haven't done what's right. But I need to let you know the power of the Holy Spirit is here to help you. To let go of those things that are pushing you further away from Jesus. Will allow you to be in the place you've always wanted to be. May I speak directly to you that struggle with various vices? It doesn't have to be drugs. That's too easy. But you're struggling with the idea of really to say no to other opportunities or no to relationships or no to things that you know that are absolutely poisoning your life. That you're willing to say no to the thing that has kept you away from the truth. And you're willing to say, I need Jesus. He's the only one who can help me. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not asking you to get a quick fix. I'm asking for you to get a resolve to the place where you're saying, you know, God, I realize I can't do it. I need you to save my soul, and I'm willing to do what you want me to do. In a moment, I'll give you a chance when we stand and sing a chorus of this song. Don't consult with anybody but the Holy Spirit, because he's already prompted you. He says, this is the day, and I want to tell you something. You may never feel this way again. This year, before you die, I don't know. So the day you hear the voice of God, don't play with that, because Jesus is dealing with you. Lord Jesus, help people to come to you today. Help them to resolve that they need you. And Lord, this is not just for people who've never come to you. It's for believers that need their soul cleansed, purified to be all that Jesus says they ought to be. Lord, help there not to be guilt, shame, or doubt, but rather they would come to you and just submit their life to you for the transformation of their soul. I thank you for that. Would you stand with me, and we're going to sing a chorus of a song. Do not wait for your neighbor to come. If God's talking, you step out right now. Step out. I didn't ask for it. You step out, and we're going to pray with you today. So if you need that, come on. Don't wait for anybody else. You come. Let Jesus do it.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.